Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Common Ground, October 3rd, 2019. We were off last week. In the house with me is Sherry Sauce, my co-host. We had some personal issues last week, so we apologize to our listening audience why we weren't here. And we are back, and we are re-energized. And it just so happens that we have a great topic today that's in the news. We didn't plan it that way. We've actually had this topic on our schedule for a long time. And the topic, of course, is vaping. And we say, is there much concern? And we have some really good guests with us today representing both sides of this issue. And again, this is a discussion, not a debate. We're not here to debate vaping. We just want to understand where what's coming, you know, what's it all about, what's happening with it, what we see. And so we have the guests to talk about it. And in studio, we have Blake Keith and his wife, Christina. And they're going to talk about their experience with vaping. And we also have Jason Bai of Northland. They're a vaping company. And Shell Hammer, who owns a vaping store and is a big advocate in the association, which she'll talk about as well. So, Sherry, it's been a while since we've been on. It's been really good to have the break.
I miss the studio.
And we're here with a real winner of a show.
I know. So, heavy topic.
Heavy topic, big in the news, and I can't wait to hear what everybody has to say about it. So we're going to start right away. Just want to say before we start this show, the segment is sponsored by Elevated Roofing, Bell & Sparrows, and GetBloomly.com. So getting started right away, since we only have an hour, this show could go 2.5 hours if right. We really wanted it to, is we're going to talk to Blake and his wife, Christina, who... I'm not even going to introduce what happened to them. They'll just tell us. I think we'll start with Christina, and I'll give you a few minutes to talk about it, and then we're going to have our other guests, of course, relate what they do and their position on the issue. So, Christina, why don't you start with us? Tell us what occurred with Blake, his vaping experience.
So Blake started to get, like, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea symptoms, GI symptoms, September 6th, and it came on suddenly, got fever with it. After a couple days of not getting better, we took him to urgent care. They thought he had the flu because he had such bad body aches and fever, but that came back negative. And just because he had the nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, they diagnosed him with a GI bug, gave him an antibiotic and some meds. At that time, I didn't think that was the correct diagnosis, but Blake just wanted to try the antibiotics and see if they started to help. By September 13th, it was a Friday, he had gone to the ER, and he was requiring 2 liters of oxygen, and he was slightly septic. They admitted him to the hospital on a med-surg floor, and he was doing fine. And then about midnight, so it was Saturday morning, he needed up to 4 liters of oxygen to help his oxygen levels come up. Oxygen levels did not increase, and about 4 o'clock, the heart monitor tech called and said his heart rate's elevated. By the time they got in there, he was coughing up blood, saying he can't breathe. And then he was rushed to the ICU, where they ended up having to intubate him and put him on life support because his lungs completely stopped. He was diagnosed with ARDS, which is acute respiratory distress syndrome, which means his lungs weren't able to function anymore. And he needed the breathing tube down his throat to help his lungs breathe. And then he was also in septic shock. At that point, his oxygen level was 47%. They could not get it up. His levels on the ventilator were maxed out, and they said, you need to call your family. We don't know if he's going to make it.
Wow.
So, and that was in 24 hours?
How less long? Than 20. It was like 12 hours.
All right, let's stop there, because that's a really deep way to start this
right?
show. So, unfortunately, this happened to you, Blake, and we have feelings, of course, and empathy for what you went through, but basically, you know, you voluntarily decided to vape on your own, right?
That's absolutely, absolutely. No one forced me to do it.
Okay, so let's just hold that spot there of what happened to you, and that was a good introduction, Christina. And so, Shell, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your position on and vaping and this discussion?
Of course. So my name is Shell Hamill. I am the owner of the Vapor Bar. I'm also the national, the director of state chapters for SFADA. And, I've been doing advocacy since about 2014, but I opened my shop in 2011. So, I've been in it for quite some time. So that's a little bit about me.
Wow. So when this started in 2011, it just became this phenom. I remember that I have certain family members, which remain nameless. I remember when they started vaping and they were telling me how, you know, the benefits of it because they were smokers and they were coming off of smoking and this really helped them. Is that what you saw, this surge all of a sudden from smokers?
I did. In 2011, you didn't really see it as much because we were crazy. But in 2012, 2013, it started picking up. 2014, it really, really hit. I think that was the height of it. And you saw a lot of manufacturing happening and things of that nature and a little maturity right around there. But I think most of the maturity happened around 2016. But yeah, that you saw a ton of people, you know, use these products versus using tobacco products and were very, very successful.
Okay. Thank you for that quick introduction, your background. I'm going to get Jason. Jason, so tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about Northland and your position on this discussion.
Yeah. So my name is Jason Bai. I work for Northland Vapor Company. We're based out of Fargo, North Dakota. We started a little bit later, back in 2015, 2016, kind of online, experimenting with flavors, trying to make various e-liquids using the bare minimum amount of ingredients, not trying to use anything that had any dextrans or anything that was causing any of the known issues of the day that people were selling or anything out of these cheap Chinese factories. And we've just kind of taken off from there. We opened a few retail stores up here in our neck of the woods, and we just stand on the side of, we want to sell a regulated product in the free market, and that's kind of all there is to it.
You just said regulated. I'm writing that down.
Wow, regulated. Well, I think it is regulated now by the tobacco industry since 2016. At least that's what my notes say. But it's pretty interesting to me that, you know, during my research on it, now I understand there's over 36 million smokers since 2015. But the situation, of course, in the news, and we'll be just upfront about it, is situations like Blake are becoming, it seems, more commonplace. So is that what we're finding? Again, I'll talk to the promoters of vaping. So Blake and Shell, are we seeing more adverse effects happening because of, in your opinion, maybe not the best type of liquid to smoke? Or why do you think all of a sudden we're seeing more in the news some of these situations like Blake's, where people are being hospitalized? I'll let either one of you talk. Why don't you start, Shell?
So I don't know that I have an answer for that, except for there are many reasons financially through these states of why vaping is not a good thing, or changing them to vaping away from smoking it's not financially good for a lot of different industries. But as far as medical type adverse effects, I can't really speak to that, because that is something that has never been proven. There's plenty of studies that need to come out versus that. But we see it less than we see it more. I will say that.
All right, so I'll get to Blake since he had this experience. So, you know, from the information, you know, that I got from both sides of it, I think it's, you know, unforeseen that things like this would happen to you, Blake. So you were just a regular vapor, I guess. You smoked tobacco at one point. Give us your background to that. You were smoking tobacco. What got you into vaping?
Yeah, absolutely. So started smoking cigarettes and marijuana at age 13. Self-medicating for bipolar and ADHD, and the marijuana sure seemed to help. The nicotine sure seemed to help kind of slow things down, calm me down. Then the vaping hit the market, and it was odorless. So I'd say that was the biggest draw for me, was it was undetectable. I could do it right behind your back, and you would know none of the difference. So recently we were talking about there's no recent studies out there to show that vaping is a healthy alternative to help you quit smoking. And the CDC just did a recent study. They found that many adults are using e-cigarettes to stop smoking, but they don't. They just end up using both, and that's known as dual use. That's also, I fit in that category.
When did that come out, that study? Just curious.
This is off the CDC's website, and it just says a recent study. So
Jason, yeah. Do you find that's true that many vapors still smoke cigarettes, regular cigarettes?
Not in our experience. Online finding our following our data of sales, we actually have found that the level of nicotine people are taking in has gone down over time, so far to the point where we've actually discontinued higher nicotine products. And so it is kind of an interesting industry to be in where you have to acquire new customers only to have them quit your product.
Right. So Northland doesn't really promote nicotine, but I mean, one of the benefits, I guess, for e-cigarettes, and you guys could correct me, if, you know, you're in the industry, I'm just the guy on the radio, but one of the benefits of the e-cigarettes is that you can control the nicotine input, so you can kind of wean yourself off nicotine. Is that right, Blake? Is that part of the reason why?
Yes, sir. Here's a big part of it. And I thought it would work, but it was very ineffective for me. Not that it's not effective for others, but it was ineffective for me. I still used both.
So I have a question for Shell and Jason.
Well,
I was going to speak to
what he said about the CDC real quick, if I could.
Absolutely.
And that is, there are absolutely, there are tons of studies out there. There's several clean air studies. There's several, the Royal College of Physicians came out and said it was 95% less harmful than cigarettes.
Yeah, so
there's tons of studies out there. It's what they're accepting. As far as the CDC goes, and that these are dual use, the majority of these individuals that I have noticed and in my shop and just listening to individuals across the nation is that they're starting on these small cigar-like products, and they're not understanding that they have to step that up to a different device.
So you're saying like the gum, when the gum first came out, there's like specific instructions on do this. This is how many pieces you choose. So you're saying there's like a dosing awareness that should be utilized. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, to a degree, and it may not actually be a dosing thing, a dosing type thing that you're talking about. It may just be a power type thing where, you know, that individual starts to breathe a little deeper and what have you. And you know, if you're a smoker, that you kind of have to feel that nicotine punch. And I'm speaking as a shop owner now, watching all of these individuals and seeing them move from one stage to the other. And when they start on the smaller batteries and the lower power, then they get to the point to where they're breathing deeper and they need to feel that nicotine hit a little deeper. So the power is very important, and they don't understand that they need to move that up. And if you're a shop, you understand that immediately and know to move them up power-wise. But if they're working still on a cigarette product, they don't get that. And then about 3 weeks in or so, when they, you know, experience this change, then they start smoking because they don't know that they need to change to something different.
Go ahead.
If I don't mind to interrupt Shell and Jason, I have a question for you on that. The liquid in e-cigarettes turn into an aerosol. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, that is
correct. That users breathe and exhale, and they contain harmful substances, including nicotine, ultrafine particles that can be inhaled deep into the lungs, and flavoring such as, diicetyl, a chemical linked to serious lung diseases, volatile organic compounds, cancer-causing chemicals, and heavy metals such as nickel, tin, and lead.
Well, the point is, and that's a good point that Blake brings up. So, Shell or Jason, so are there warnings on, I think there are warnings on vaping materials, right? Just like the cigarettes have on the side of their packets about, the age requirement and the dangers or potential dangers of vaping. Is that true?
There are warnings that the FDA requires that we put on our products, yes. The information that he just cited is actually data that was used a long time ago and is still being cited now. Innovation has changed those markers. And as a matter of fact, there's plenty of scientific data that shows that none of those exist or very few of those exist of which he just cited.
Well, I am testimony.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Blake, what?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm testimony to a serious lung disease. So,
my heart goes out to you. Okay. I don't discredit anything of what you're saying.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just telling you science versus science. What the science studies were back then, which that was that actual science was quoted at the FDA panel. I want to say I heard it 5 years ago. So it's old study, and there have been new studies because we've innovated to where those do not. I think that came out of a cartomizer, if I'm not mistaken. Now, don't quote me on that.
Let me jump in since we're talking to this, because sure. I have a more recent. So this is in the New York Times, and it was published October 2nd, 2019. And it indicates that the Mayo Clinic reported that they tested tissue to 17 patients, two of them which died. Now, it indicated like 70%, I don't remember the exact details of this portion, but 70% were using a THC product with it. But what bothers me is what reads here is pattern of injury in the lung that looks like a toxic chemical exposure, a toxic chemical fume exposure, and then it blah, 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 and then it goes down to it. To be honest, they look like the kind of change you would expect to see in an unfortunate worker in an industrial accident where a big barrel of toxic chemicals spills and that person is exposed to toxic fumes and there's a chemical burn in the airways. So I guess my question is if we didn't see this from cigarettes. So how, if this is happening, because this is recent, I don't know, you might have more, you might have better information, but if it's so recent, how is it deemed better than a cigarette? I mean, they're both still
delivering. So what I'm assuming that you are pointing to is the scientific data or the information that came back from this adulterated, illegal, you know, some people call bathtub mix, whatever you want to call it. But this was street illegal drugs that were sold and mixed improperly with vitamin E oil. So these were adulterated products.
Well, this actually
so if that is the one you're talking about, explain to me which one you're talking about. If you're talking about one of the recent studies where the CDC has said they were THC. Yeah, the CDC actually finally came out and said that these were THC products that were adulterated.
Well,
this research that I have indicates 70% were linked to a form of other products that probably are not made for the vape product. But that leaves 30% of these patients who were using the product. I mean, and I don't know. I didn't pull up the actual research.
Arizona. And in Arizona, it's legal medical to smoke marijuana. And so it was actually a Mayo Clinic in Arizona. I was given to me because I'm from Arizona. And it's legal there.
But is that product, because y'all look, I don't know the first thing about vaping. I should have went into a shop and like looked
up. I thought you were vaping.
No.
Oh,
no,
good for you,
never,
Sherry. Never start.
I've never puffed a cigarette. I can't wrap my brain around. Look, this is what I tell my teens. I can't wrap my brain around inhaling something you light on fire. Like, just hear it that way.
Well, you know, one thing I challenge everyone to find a pulmonologist who agrees with vaping. I doubt
no pulmonologist is going to agree with cigarette smoking either.
The danger is real is all I'm trying to get at.
Right. I think that our other guests would agree that there's a danger of inhaling a substance, but I think their position, I'm not trying to speak for you guys on calling in, is that, you know what, we're adults and to make those decisions. But my one of my questions that I have for our vaping advocates is, you know, there's really aren't a lot of studies about putting in these liquids into our lungs. I think that's the premise that's coming out, is that these, you know, the liquids that you put in or the e-juice or whatever you call it, there's no type of studies that are done to show the long-term effect of that. Is that true, Jason?
That's not necessarily true. The long term is depending on how far you're going to frame that. We definitely do have studies going back to 2011 that have been done on vaping. Anecdotally, though, you could go back as far as fog machines have been around at concerts. People have been getting blasted with that stuff for years, and you never hear any reports.
But you're not inhaling, I mean, direct by. No,
there's a difference between taking something and put it in your mouth and injecting it straight into your lungs versus a little bit of cloud dust going through the air, because you're not going to breathe it in. You're going to hold your breath. You're going to turn your head away.
I mean, we have one of our listeners, just real quick, sorry, she's a nurse, and she says that she works in ICU, and they've been seeing an increase of, you know, lung damage from vaping. So, I mean, is it that it's more popularly used now, or is it more, you know, because it's so it's priced less than cigarettes, maybe the usage is higher?
Oh, yeah, the convenience.
So the convenience of it, there's more smokers. So these, you know, people that are extreme with anything, right, in life, Let's face it, if you're a casual smoker, that's one thing. Well, and if you smoke a lot, you could get lung cancer. So maybe that's part of it.
Think about the physicality of the difference in a cigarette and a vape product. Because think about it. You have to pull a cigarette out. You have to light it up. There's littering with the bud. There's the nasty.
You have to go outside.
Yeah, it's the stigma. It's the smell. It's everything that we have over the decades have put stigma to that product. And now this new product is delivering the same payoff without all the negative.
Yes.
Yes.
So do.
And it's cheaper.
But at the same time, y'all, you know, I Googled because, you know, I had to get my research in top most addictive things. And the top five, I don't remember them verbatim, but I know alcohol and nicotine were right there in the top five. But look, I went to the liquor store this weekend. You know, we bought a bottle of champagne and I'm standing in front of all the vodkas. And we actually had a comment on one of our flyers. You know, you go to the vodka section now, you have cotton candy vodka, you have bubblegum vodka, you have every kind of vodka.
I like the Carmel vodka.
I'm not into vodka. No. I like gin. But regardless... what do we do with that information? Everybody wants to yell, well, these are being marketed to children. Shell and Jason, do y'all agree that there is an issue as far as our young people being targeted on this product?
So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I agree that I don't know that there are, well, Jewel came out and said that, you know what, it depends on who you're talking about as far as marketing. As far as the small business industry, we have done... we've gone above and beyond to try to make sure that the marketing is not enticing children. That is very important. And of course, we are all very, very well versed in carting. As a matter of fact, if you pull the FDA data, you can go on their website and pull it up. The warning letters that have been issued across the country have been 94% to convenience stores. The numbers don't lie.
Right.
So if you pull that data up, it shows exactly where, which in turn says reasonable regulation on these products should happen inside these states, which means, you know, limit where they're getting these. It's much like liquor and beer.
Right.
You know, limit where they're getting these. Put them in adult-only shops. Or that's my position on this.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I was going to
say. But furthermore, when we're talking about these products, I mean, we are regulated. If you go into any shop, these e-liquid companies are regulated by the FDA. We have to submit our ingredients. We have to submit our labels, things like that. So we are regulated. If you have, and I don't know about, is it Jason? Is that right?
No, Blake.
I don't know about Blake's experience on where he purchased. I'm sorry, where he purchased his product, but we are very particular in how we make our e-liquids. And, you know, it's an adult product. It should be an adult decision, and it should be only for adults.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's a great point that you bring up, Shell. And, you know, the benefits can be part of the problem. So the benefits, of course, from the vaping side is that it doesn't have an odor, and that was Blake's one of the things
that was the biggest draw to it, right? Is it was undetectable,
right? So, and also because it's undetectable, and because some of these jewels, I hate to use their product name,
supposed to be using brand names,
but any of those products are very easy to hide. So it makes it kind of, you know, I'm saying your stores and the vaping industry. Let's just set the example that yeah, you guys are doing everything you can to make sure minors don't utilize this, but it's so easy for them to use it to get the equipment for it, to get the liquid to smoke it. I mean, I know of kids in high school that have these small little units
My daughter took
that they could hide it in their sleeve. And from what I understand now, there's things that are built into like sweatshirts and stuff. So there's all types of paraphernalia that's out there for kids to get involved in vaping. How do we confront that, Shell?
So, frankly, I think we are seeing a lot of states come out in the knee-jerk reaction instead of thinking this through. Number one, understanding that this product is at least 95% less harmful. Number two, understanding that we have to get rid of these adulterated products. We need these We need only to be out there in the market, those that are registered and regulated by the FDA. We don't have to worry about these THC products, which is, by the way, is not even our industry. Right. And I think that we need to release reasonable regulation within these states where we are, number one, capping the amount of nicotine, and number two, putting these in adult-only shops. That is reasonable regulation. That doesn't shut down your small business.
I like
it. It doesn't limit access to these minors. I mean, it limits access to these minors. And frankly, it makes their job much easier. If they're worried about youth and they're talking about flavors, they only have to focus on those shops, which are adult-only shops.
I do have to just make a comment on one of the things you said. It's less harmful than cigarettes. I mean, you have to admit that's some harm to smoking.
95% was the percent I believe she used. Is that correct?
At least 95%. And I didn't use that. The Royal College of Physicians.
I read that study. It's Royal College of Physicians. It's done in England. They're saying 95% safer than smoking. But it doesn't say that there's
correct.
No
tobacco.
Right. Okay. There's no deterious. You can't say there's no deterious effects from vaping. I mean, you still get dizziness, you still get dry mouth, you still get secondhand smoke. You can still
chemical
get
burns to your lungs.
There's still nicotine. So I mean, it is a drug. You can get nicotine, which is a drug, by vaping. I don't think it's not dangerous at all. But I think what your position is: hey, we're adults. It's regulated by a tobacco. Control Act of 2016, if it's done through the proper means, and I'm not trying to say it for you, Shell, but that's basically what you're saying. If it's protected from children and it's watched, you know, why can't adults make those decisions? Is that basically what you're saying?
I am saying that, but I mean, as far as the studies go, clinical studies, and remember when I said earlier, there's not a lot of long-term studies. Of course, we don't have those long-term studies, but the UK has many, many clinical studies. As a matter of fact, they are way far ahead of us in this game as far as advancement and their regulation and what have you. But there are plenty of medical studies that they have done which are proving this, which is why the most prominent physician group in the world came out and said it is at least 95% less harmful. But unfortunately, when you start talking to legislators in America, they kind of poo-poo that because it's the UK. Well, you know, it is there. It is available. We have seen it. And the studies show and prove exactly what the Royal College of Physicians said.
So let me jump in, because this is something that actually I was frustrated in when I was doing the reading and preparing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you mentioned capping the amount of nicotine. I think I like hearing that. And the other thing I'd like to see is people talking about, you know, when I go buy a bottle of vodka, back to the flavored vodka, friends, it says X amount percent alcohol. When you get a beer, you know, even when you go to some of these craft beer places, it tells you 5.5% alcohol. I think a lot of
9%.
Well, I like dark beer, so you know it can get really heavy.
Shiner Bock.
No, that's not
that's not dark enough. That's not dark enough.
Dark enough.
Okay.
Sherry likes the beer that I got her from Long Island.
I did. I did. Oh, it was so good. Anyway, so I guess my point is. I think we can all agree and ring the bell and that there needs to be more oversight and structure on the product. Right, guys? Yes.
Yes, I can
at
agree with that.
At the very least, because, I mean, do you agree, Shel?
I agree. I absolutely agree that there needs to be some type of there. I mean, believe me, the FDA has tons of oversight. So I'm not going to say we need more regulation through them. However, I do believe that we need more oversight and regulation within these states or that is reasonable for small business. I mean, I'm going to tell you guys, if they continue to finish this out in the United States and move the needle on every state and banning flavors, we are going to have millions of people go back to smoking. So you want to talk about, they kill 480,000 people a year. So let's look at the numbers here. At least, I mean, we actually see these numbers drop. So if they continue doing this, we are going to shut every small business down across the country. And all of these arguments about battery safety and all of these things, where are you going to send them to get that education? Because your convenience store has no clue. So absolutely, I think that we need reasonable regulation so that we can keep these safely on the market with regulated products through the FDA and get these THC adulterated products off the street.
Well, I know that Blake wanted to comment on. Did you want to say something, Blake?
Well, I guess I have another comment based off that last statement as well. But we were talking about statistics, and one thing that was really alarming was in 2018, in a 30-day time period, 3.6 million middle school and high school students admitted to vaping.
Oh, the numbers are, I mean, the numbers on the young people taking this product are just...
Middle school and high school students, 3.6 million.
Right, I think Shell presented one type of option to try and protect our minors from getting it. So what you're saying, Shell, is that there's more government intervention, and that's good and that's bad, because then, you know, where do you stop? It's a slippery slope. Is that basically what you're saying?
Right, right. Oh, absolutely. And that's where, I mean, you have to kind of look at, they need to understand the environment and what, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And one of the things that you need to look at and really hone in on is the fact that these high nic pods, let's take Jewel, for instance. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus now, but I'm just saying,
yeah,
look at
say
Jewel,
that.
Who is 50, or actually 60 and 30 or 40, depending on what study you look at. So that's milligrams. That is the only thing they offer. Am I correct? But your vapor shops are anywhere from 25 down to zero.
Yeah.
You tell me what their goal is.
Exactly.
Our vapor shop's goal is to wean these individuals down on their nicotine, where you have this high adulterated, these high products, not adulterated, but these high products, these high nic products, that are not only, and this is what I hear all the time, these youth are borrowing it from a friend or whatever because they want the buzz. But because of the nic salts, because of the blood-brain barrier, they are hooking them faster and harder because it's such a high amount of nicotine, and then they are nicotine dependent. So then tell me, when they become of age, who's going to wean them down off of it?
I mean,
there are so many, if you look 10 steps ahead, there are so many things that are going to be issues if we continue this legislation across the country and we shut all these small shops down. It will be detrimental to health.
Well, it was well said how that is it, there's opportunity to step down, and that's your goal. But I could say the reverse effect. You have the small dose and you step up. So it also goes the other way.
Yeah, and the comments that we're getting also, I don't know if you guys could see on KBGI Live or face or on a Common Ground Live page, is, you know, again, the liquids of putting a liquid product in your lungs. I don't think there's ever been a product, you know, that I know of that before vaping came that you are putting these liquid into your lungs. So I mean, have you been in a pool and swallow water? Wow, that's pretty bad. So,
well,
but, and I know that's an exaggeration. So I know, Shell and Jason, that's an exaggeration. But I mean, there is, do you think that vaping was brought to the market way too fast before proper evaluation of this type of product was made?
I agree.
Do you think so, Shell?
I disagree. Okay. And I'm going to say that I disagree only because, you know, unless you're in these shops and you're watching these 70-year-old women and 70-year-old men and 60-year-old men coming in, you know, carrying oxygen tanks, you cannot fathom how many individuals you roll over every day and you go, I'm changing lives. And so I absolutely disagree, because I have heard the testimonials of those time and time and time again. And not only that, their children, their grandchildren, and on and on. So I'm going to disagree, because if we would have stepped back and waited for anything to happen with, well, I mean, who are you going to look to? It'll be either big tobacco, which we were trying to save everybody from, or it will be big pharma, which everyone will, I mean, the cost would be astronomical, have to go to your doctor, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, who are you going to wait on?
Well,
frankly, would it even have been brought to the market? So I disagree.
I want to jump in, because I think the majority of the public's issue, in my opinion, I don't know, it could just be my opinion. It's kind of like, you know, back in the day, we told everybody cigarettes weren't harmful. And then we learned to know better, and then lawsuits and blah, blah, blah. So we've kind of
put... You mean Joe Camel was wrong?
Yes. So we put that in its we put that in its lane, and we put cigarettes and all things cigarette smoking in their lane. I mean, we designated spaces outside of public spaces. We've, you know, voted them out of bars, even where people are making their own adult decisions. We kind of had it put in its corner. And I guess part of the frustration is, as well, yes, I completely hear what you're saying, is this product is a solution to those people's new reality. But I think the disconnect and the problem is it's opened another portion of Pandora's box. And we've kind of circled back around now to the whole cigarette days where we don't know what we don't know. And it's like the wild, wild west. But we know enough to know that, oh, this isn't good. So what do we do? What do we do now? What does vaping look like? Do we just put them in the same cigarette lane? Because there's nowhere near as many kids smoking cigarettes to date as there, you know, is vaping. Like, vaping's, there's no stigma other than...
That's cool.
I hate to tell you that we are classified now below cigarettes, it looks like.
No, I know. It's almost like, it's like the product is... Is this the wrong way to say it? Too good to be true, but it's not, because it's legit. It absolutely is a solution to people that do not want to be smoking a cigarette, lighting up, smoking, inhaling a carcinogen that is lit on fire is very different than the vaping product, right, Blake? Do we agree with that?
Yeah, but it's also just as dangerous. Every single doctor that we saw said getting that liquid into your lungs will kill you overnight. Smoking a cigarette will kill you over 30, 40 years. Pick your poison.
All right, and on that, we do have to take a hard break, so we'll come back after our break to recognize our sponsors and take it up from that point that Christina just mentioned. So let's just take a pause here. Our guests on the phone, thank you so much. Just hold on, Jason and Shell, Blake and Christina. So late in the game, we have to recognize a sponsor. We usually recognize them about a half hour. So
right, we're behind.
We're in 38 minutes, but the discussion's been good. We appreciate our guests coming. But this segment was sponsored by our premier sponsor. We have a premier sponsor, Blake. You know, we're not a little rinky-dink show. We actually have people that...
I'm very, very impressed with the studio, and y'all are very good people.
Well, Mark's the studio. We just...
good job, Mark.
We just come here and hang out for an hour. But Elevated Roofing is our premier sponsor, and they're actually all over Texas.
I've heard
all
of them.
All over. Yeah, big company.
Big company.
Very big. And... they do a tremendous job on your roof. I actually personally used them on my roof, and the service that they provide is second to none. In fact, when I first had a hailstorm, I had my agent come by and look at it, my insurance agent. He said, "No, Mr. Noskin, you don't have enough damage here." I'm like, "Are you crazy? Can't you see the curling of my roof shingles and the dents in my gutter?" No. So I called up Elevated Roofing through a recommendation, and the guy came by, Kenny Gammons, great salesman, comes up on my roof. He goes, "You got some damage in here." I said, "Can you talk to Allstate about this?" Oops, I shouldn't have said Allstate, right? Oops.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Allstate did pay, bottom line. But the bottom line is that he came in, Kenny Gammons came in, he spent hours literally with Allstate showing them, took drone pictures, all these different pictures. Yeah, he wanted the sale. Let's face it. But he was out there for my best interest because the roof was damaged at the time. You know, a lot of these insurance companies,
we all
there's
had
so
roof
many
damage.
Roofs. Right.
I remember that storm.
It's
there
crazy.
Was a lot.
Not only did he do a great job, but they replaced my gutters. They all matched. They let me pick personal gutters. My wife was out there with all the color samples.
Well, they didn't let you pick then.
Yeah,
your wife
anything.
Was there.
So they are just tremendous from beginning to end. Elevated Roofing, if you ever need a roof, please, in North Texas, 469-200-0582. Great company, great service. They have a painting division. I actually use their painting division too, Elevated Painting. Tremendous company. 469-200-0582. We're also sponsored by who, Sherry?
By Bell & Sparrow. Bell & Sparrow is a nonprofit entity. I love these ladies. I actually went to one of their events recently and just blown away. I was a little bit in stealth mode. I sat at a table and just chatted it up with a lot of people that participate.
You went to their un-gala.
Their un-gala. And to hear all of these people speak, so
what do?
They help mission and they serve women. It is women serving women. And they do a lot of mission work outside of our country. I was very surprised to hear. Like their Haiti area that they go to, they go back to the same spot and they've built relationships and partnerships with people there. They've put water in the ground. And what they do is they advocate to teach women their trades so then they can sell things. So then they can
empowering women.
Yes, that's what they do. Women empowering women. And I wanted to say, because I started thinking while I was at the Ungala that, you know, they're a sponsor of ours. And I thought maybe that might sound a little odd. So I wanted to share, they actually have a person who has paid their sponsorship, who loves our show, Common Ground, and wanted to help us out, but didn't really have like anything he needed to market. So he's like, "Hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to spend this time shouting out for these ladies because they're amazing and they're changing, you know, women's lives through God and mission work. So
that's a great point. Bell and Sparrows is a non-for-profit charity. They don't pay anything for the sponsorship. Like Sherry said, they are actually being subsidized to get their name out. So right. People that are listening, if you really want to help a really good charity for to helping women, especially women in desperate need, please go to
bellandsparrow.info@bellandsparrow.org.
That's where they would make the donation?
That's
the final information about that. But if you go to their website at bellandsparrows.org, that's okay. That's B-E-L-L-E, Bell, like, you know, Bell from Beauty and the Beast, right? And sparrows.org, if you want to contribute to this great organization, please do so. And lastly, because we have to get back to the show, is our last sponsor is GetBloomly.com, and they are a custom florist. So he's been doing a lot of work in North Texas. He actually supplies all the flowers for the Cartier store in Highland Park, which you have been in there. It's over my price range, but it's a beautiful store. And what he does is he customizes the flowers for their store, and he also does this for many people in Texas. So he'll, if you want flowers, say fresh cut flowers every month or twice a month, he comes to your house, decides what you want in your house, comes with the vase and the flowers and replaces it. It's a great service, great company, GetBloomly.com. Please check out their website and please support our sponsors. We'd appreciate it so that we can continue to broadcast our unique topics that we try to bring to you every week. So thank you so much. And thank you for our guest for holding on. We're going to come right back. Here we go. And we have Shell's on the phone and Jason's on the phone. And we have Blake and Christina in studio. So the last comment that Christina made, very poignant one. What do you have to say about what Christina said, Shell?
Can you say it again?
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead, Christina.
Yes, we've had many doctors in the hospital and outside of the hospital tell us that no liquid should go in your lungs, no matter what it is, whether it be water like swimming or nicotine or marijuana, or even if you could vape Tylenol, let's just say. No liquid needs to go in your lungs. And they said vaping will kill you overnight, as we have saw with Blake's personal case. He deteriorated in 12 hours, and had he not been in a hospital, he would no longer be here with us. But smoking will kill you over 30 or 40 years. So they told us you can pick your poison, but it's vaping versus smoking and how quickly it can kill you.
So is there any other thing that we inhale that is a liquid other than
Exactly. And that's exactly. I was going to challenge that with two things. Number one, that we are given breathing treatments, which is precisely the carrier. That is the carrier that is inside the nicotine inside vaping products. So propylene glycol is inside your nebulizers and your breathing treatments. So I'm going to challenge that with that number one, which there are tons and tons and tons of studies. The second thing I'm going to challenge it with is we have actually nicotine inhalers that have gone through FDA approval and that people use all the time. So if that's the case, then why in the world would we have those and they be used actually for that type, for lung issues actually specifically? So I'm not saying that they're wrong, but I'm saying they're wrong. like I said, we're adults. You know, you can choose your poison. I agree. Choose your poison as far as smoking versus vaping. However, there are tons and tons and tons of studies that doctor is completely wrong. In the UK, there are plenty of clinical studies that have been done. One by Dr. Pelosa, I know, just recently. So I'm not a scientist, nor am I a physician. However, I will say that I have seen absolutely the opposite. But I will tell you that many physicians will err on this side because they're not going to come out. Now, there are some pulmonologists that will send directly to the shops. I'll tell you, I have those myself. But I will go ahead and say that there's very few physicians that are going to stand up and speak for us right now because we are so controversial.
So you're saying that there would be physicians that would speak up for vaping if it wasn't?
She's saying,
there are. Yes.
Really?
Well, one of the nurses that had commented on our Facebook feed, she kind of makes a point in that She says, what about the 25-year-old with the tank because they have lung disease from vaping? And she says, we are creating a whole new generation to start on this journey who did not want to use cigarettes. So it's kind of like we've had enough generations move away from the cigarette years. And we kind of, I feel like we had a gap there where it wasn't as prevalent. And now, like I said earlier, we've kind of circled back around. But I wanted to point out to the audience, the American Heart Association does say on their website that e-cigarettes are a better choice over cigarettes.
Yeah, better choice over smoking. And that comes back to the study, I think, that Shell talked about with the Royal College of Physicians in the UK. So I don't think we're debating whether, you know, okay, so if you're saying, hey, do you want to smoke or vape? I guess the industry and doctors are saying, hey, but you're better off vaping. But it's still...
But we have him sitting right here who almost died.
And I think Blake wants to comment.
And I'm not the only one. There's so many people who have died out there that we've all just wrote off.
And you used materials that you smoked, the e-juices and all
those. At the vape shop.
The
recent stuff, yes, was all vape shop stuff, yes.
So to Shell and Jason, so do some people just have an adverse effect? How would you respond to that if here's Blake, he's saying, hey, I went into regular vaping stores and I bought what you guys sell and I didn't adulterate it and I didn't do anything and look what happened to me. So are you saying there are a percentage of people that just would have that reaction? How would you respond to that?
I have asthma as well.
Did you have asthma before?
I had asthma before.
Okay.
So I've already had a lung disease, and maybe because of that.
Well, that's full disclosure. I appreciate
see,
that.
Insert Sharisala's mouth, because I want to go, Blake Keith.
Yes, ma'am.
Like, pull out my, what's your middle name? Because now I need to be
William.
Middle name in you, too.
Yeah.
Blake William Keith.
No, William Blake Keith, that's all right.
What were we thinking in the first place?
Well, I haven't had asthma problems since I was a kid.
Oh, okay. So you had a light asthma problem.
I'm just teasing you, by the way.
Oh, that's all right. The main goal, or I think the main point everybody's trying to say is adults are going to choose what they want to do.
Right.
We fought many wars for Americans to have the freedom to do whatever they want to do in this country. I'm not trying to change adults, and I can't fix adults. What I can do is educate our youth on the dangers and the benefits, if there are some. Quite frankly, I don't believe that there's been enough testing.
And the benefits don't outweigh the risk, in our opinion.
Yes, and...
I mean, I've never had to think about possibly having to tell my kids that their daddy's not coming home. And that's a very serious thing I have to deal with the rest of my life, and I pray that no one should have to deal with that. I'm 28 years old and have three kids and one on the way, and I thought I was going to have to birth a baby to know dad in this world. And that's a very serious side effect of vaping.
So, Shell, can I ask you, or Jason, can I ask you a question? Could this just be also a matter of we don't know what we don't know? Because, like, if you take alcohol and you drink straight Everclear over and over and over and over, your liver's going to have something to say about it.
Your body's kind of mad.
Your body's eventually going to say, hello, no.
You can die.
Yeah, so is that... Is it possible to regulate and cap? Like, I just feel like dosing has to be an issue here. Like, if you're inhaling a ton of liquid, aren't you eventually going to drown yourself?
And it was so cool, too, when you could get the bigger puff and you could modify the battery. And, you know, you go into a vape shop store, every one of the employees can blow out the biggest cloud possible.
Well, that's the whole marketing of it.
I mean, yeah, so they try.
I'm not calling that against the vaping.
I'm not either. I'm just saying that's the cool thing about it. That's so cool.
But is the big cloud part of the problem, Show? What is, I don't know. I don't speak vape.
I'll address a couple of things that were said. And one of them is, you know, it was this product that you guys mentioned that it was this product and that it's hooking another generation. That was not the intent. That was not the intent back in the day. That was not the intent, you know, 3 years later. The intent was to get individuals off of big tobacco products, off of tobacco, you know, and inhaling, you know, hundreds and thousands of carcinogens. That was the intent. All right. So when you're talking about when it became the issue, the CDC is reported to say that these high nic pods are what shifted that language and shifted that momentum to be, you know, exactly what you're saying. If you're talking about small vapor shops where, you know, they're selling these, you know, systems to wean people down, that was the intent. That was absolutely the intent.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think that is the core.
Say it again.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's the core problem of this entire conversation is reckless products that have turned this from a solution to an uglier issue to a drug, a quick high, another substance.
It went the wrong way.
Right down to money.
It went the wrong way.
It comes right down to money. So it did go the wrong way, and I am not going to disagree with you at all.
Yay, we have common ground.
Hey, can I do that too?
Yes, Blake.
Sure.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay.
And so that's why I actually put together this big program called YepWeID.org. It is it's fully encompassed with education for teens, for parents. So that they can look. I mean, these parents don't know what these things look like. I want them to identify a battery, whatever it is that they see laying around, and know that their child may be experimenting with these products, and take action immediately. Empowering these parents with knowledge. And that's very important. But to the other point, and I forgot what the other point was, actually.
Well, can
and I had somewhere to go.
Can I ask you, is there, so if a convenience store sells to a minor, is the fine the same as if it's a cigarette product, a tobacco product? Like, are those things parallel at least? I think they are.
Right. Well, so there's your issue. There's your issue right there. You just pointed out a great issue. And I just said this at the state when we were writing legislation or helping to negotiate legislation for Tobacco 21. And that is that, yes, the FDA has certain amounts of warning letters that they'll put in place, and then there are fines. The state does too. However, the two do not speak to one another, which causes a whole other problem. Because, you know, there you have maybe this convenience store or what have you that can have six violations before a fine, if they even get inspected that much. And I, you know what, I'm probably airing dirty laundry, but it is what it is. And that is an issue with this.
And
that's an issue with these teens getting these products.
On top of that,
which is why we need to get them out of these convenience stores.
And on top of that, the fine has to be more painful than the profit, right? And on also, we would need funding to police this. There's a lot of stuff.
Right. And you know what? Here's the other thing, is that these youth have, and I hate to say it, but these youth have there's no repercussions for them. You know, if they get caught with alcohol, they're going to have a minor in possession. They have no repercussions.
Serious?
We need to hold them accountable, too.
I had no idea.
There's no laws on that? Are you serious?
No, absolutely not. As
it's a
matter of fact, when Tobacco Free Kids came in started arguing this, they said absolutely no repercussions for these teenagers. We want them to have no repercussions. Are you kidding me? We need them to have repercussions. They need to have to be able to have to be held accountable.
Well, that goes back to my point
as well.
Is we can't change adults. It's all about youth moving forward. It's about our future.
That's where I see the major problem, Shell, from a parent and outside perspective, someone that doesn't vape, is the two things that I see that, of course, you know, what's happening in the news is presenting itself about vaping. But, you know, kids, number one, which I think you've talked about certain solutions, and the liquid, again, going into the lungs. I don't think we really have a resolution on what we know about the liquid going into the lungs. I mean, you're defending the vaping industry, and I understand that, but I haven't seen any, you know, and I understand when you're talking about nebulizers and stuff like that, but I think the concentration of liquid is different. I'm not sure. I'm not a scientist, and I didn't research that part of it, but I think those are the major concerns that people in general are saying, hey, number one, what do we know about these liquids coming in? Because, you know, could create COPD and these other things, lung collapse, et cetera, et cetera. And number two is these kids. I just don't see how the industry is going to really protect, you know, the kids from getting this and using THC and other narcotics within the apparatus for inhaling. Because it's so there's no smell and they can hide it. I just don't understand, you know, at this point, what you guys can do about that.
Well, first of all, you have to get it in adult-only shops where these shops are regulated, okay? So you have to make sure that they are regulated by the FDA and that they have to adhere to some of these regulations. That's number one. Number two, you provide education across the board and get rid of these high-nic products. that are that I think serve no purpose. Your pack of cigarettes is 18 to 21 milligrams. Why are we selling 50 and 60?
Oh my God.
Why?
That just makes
so
me understand.
So I mean, when you're talking about the science, and are we talking about, you know, when you're talking about lung studies, I told you, those have been done. We have those. But I cannot speak to THC products because that's a completely different industry and not, and definitely not in my wheelhouse.
Well, I disagree a little bit with we've had enough studies. That's far from the truth, in my opinion. The product's been too young. I mean, y'all keep evolving this product. So the product that 20 years ago you sold is not the same product you sell today. So the product you sell today...
Actually, we can't evolve this product. We're not allowed to. The FDA stopped that on 2016, so
okay,
we can't.
So from
but I do agree with you that we can definitely... We always need more studies. I didn't say that we had enough studies.
Yeah, but from 1990 to 2013, the product evolved. Now from 2013, you're saying it hasn't.
No, 2016.
2016, so...
Tobacco control.
But at the same time, guys, you know, look at alcoholism. 189,000 kids went to the ER last year for alcohol. How many of them were being killed in drunk driving? So we have alcohol that's legalized, and it's, you know.
Well, and I'll go back to the fact that tobacco kills 480. That is Toledo. It kills Toledo every year.
So is it just a matter of two things? One, it's just uncharted territory, so we don't know better. And parenting. Sorry, I threw it out there, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, but again, the concealment part, you know, I know parents that have kids that found out that their kids were vaping. They had no idea. They questioned them and they always denied it. And then they found out later that they were. So, and I think that's the biggest fear, Shell and Jason, of most people. Okay, adults choose their poison, just like you said. And, you know, what they need to be educated and aware of what they're smoking and they decide. But I think the big issue from what I understand with vaping are the kids, because they're doing it more than ever and they're addicted to nicotine.
Absolutely.
And they want and Absolutely. They love the flavoring and the aroma that comes out and all these fancy things. And
you can get different colored batteries.
So I will disagree and tell you that they want the buzz. That is where the hype started. They wanted the buzz. And you can look on YouTube where they're putting five of these different.
Do we lose her?
I don't know.
You're putting five of these products that they're putting five of these products in their mouth and vaping them for the buzz. They started because of that. Of course, they stayed for the nicotine dependency at that point. But that's where it all changed. It all shifted.
I guess then the argument is, oh, I already know the answer to that. I was going to say, then why did then why did we need this? We already kind of had these kids under, you know, cigarette stigma, go in the corner with your cancer stick. Yeah, can I say that on the air?
You can say whatever you
anyway,
want.
And I know it was born of a good idea, and you know, I'm a bio major, so I get it. But crap, this really bites. Like, because it's so cool.
What? If you want to move the needle, get rid of the high nic products and watch those numbers come down. It will be it will be back to where it was prior to the introduction of it. I truly believe that.
All right, last comment, Blake, and thank you, Shelf, for that. And then I have to wrap up. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I agree with her. It should be an adult-only shop, so let's do one of these for her. But one thing that was education, and this alarmed me. I didn't know this. I want everybody to know this. These e-cigs are dangerous to bystanders as well. Secondhand vape.
We spoke about that briefly.
Secondhand vape is just as dangerous.
Listen, this has been a great discussion. I really appreciate Shell Hamel coming on the phone. Sorry, I always mess up a name somewhere in the show. And Jason Bai, thank you. Blake, Christina, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This discussion, I think it was good. I'd love to get Shell back on another show. She seems very knowledgeable. Jason, no offense to you, but we didn't really talk to you much. But,
Sorry, Jason.
You so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. God bless everybody and have a great day. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.